So have you heard about the new pastor at Sterling United Methodist Church? Have you heard her speak and tell about herself? Well, today you get to. Well, hello everybody. This is Pastor Bert Cloud with your Sunday forecast. Well, I hope you're doing well and that you are looking forward to the weekend. Everybody's working forward to weekend, right? You know, so I have a very, very special edition of our Sunday forecast for you this week. I'll tell you a little bit about Sunday, of course, but also we have an interview. I have a great conversation with Pastor Jenny Day, who is our incoming pastor here at Sterling United Methodist Church. She will become the next pastor. She is the next pastor. She will become the pastor in July at the kind of scheduled changeover day, which is July 1st, and will begin, you know, her ministry here with the good folks at Sterling. So right now, I'm still kind of like hanging out and preaching and stuff like that. So you're stuck with me a little bit longer. But I'm really looking forward to what she has to bring. And I think you're going to love the interview that we will share a little bit later on in the big show. But right now, I want to tell you that this Sunday, we will be continuing our after Easter experiences, and certainly spend some time with a very familiar story, but a very powerful story from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to be reading from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. It's the story of the Emmaus journey. Jesus encounters a couple of disciples on their way to the village of Emmaus. This is after all the things have gone down. They're really still heartbroken and confused. And Jesus comes to be with them. And they don't recognize him at first, but he spends time kind of like, you know, saying, well, don't you know that the Messiah needed to do this, this, and this, and helps them understand some really important kind of like connections. And connections that were necessary so that they could take their next steps from misery into possibility, from heartbreak into joy. And so this Sunday, we will be talking about how Jesus astounded them with all that he was saying, even when they didn't even understand it was Jesus that they were talking to. So we will spend that time on Sunday reflecting on that, and also on Sunday, we will let you know about a really important next step for us at Sterling as we are working to strengthen and renew some of our operations. And so we've talked about this a little bit, and Linda Baczynski, who is our finance chair, will come in and share some information about that, about some of the work that we are doing to work with our operations, our financial operations, and a campaign that we're calling Next Steps, Same Mission. It's not a giving campaign. It's a campaign to help you to know how you can continue to support your church through your giving, also your prayers and your presence, your service and your witness too. But certainly we want to make sure that, you know, there's no barriers to giving in ways that make sense for lots of different folks. So Linda's going to be there on Sunday to talk a little bit about that and begin that campaign, and it's going to be great. But right now, as I mentioned to you, I have had the joy of spending some time with Reverend Jenny Day, who is a United Methodist elder. She is very experienced and very, just a loving, kind soul. And I just am so excited that she will be coming to be your new pastor here at Sterling United Methodist Church. So without further kind of like messing around, let's go ahead and change gears This is a little bit longer episode than it normally is, but there's a lot here to learn about Jenny, and I hope that you'll enjoy getting to know her a little bit more. So it's really great to have this opportunity to spend time with you, Jenny. I know that I'm really excited about you coming to serve here at Sterling, and lots of folks are really excited about welcoming you in this kind of next chapter.
Well, I'm really starting to get excited about coming to Sterling and looking towards what's next and this season of ministry together. So I'm just delighted to be able to sit down and talk with you, Bert.
Cool. So we were talking together, and we thought it might be great to hop on the podcast and give folks a chance to learn a little bit more about you. Of course, we've had the bio that you provided for us, and it's really cool. But, you know, there's all those kind of like additional things, like two truths and a lie kind of things, mm-hmm. you know, but we won't play that game. That seems weird. It's like, hey, I'm your new pastor and I'm going to tell you a lie.
Right. A good way to start off the relationship.
So no lying on the podcast. At least on your end, I'll lie maybe some, I don't know, but we'll see. So you and I kind of were talking about some fun facts, actually. You said some really cool stuff, and I thought that would be great. So maybe we could kind of like work through this this list of things. And this, you know, the first one goes right for my heart, which is, what are your favorite foods? What kind of foods do you enjoy, or what kind of things do you like to try?
Yeah, so my favorite foods are tacos and sushi and chocolate, anything chocolate. I really like chocolate covered critters I wouldn't enjoy so much, but otherwise I don't think I've met anything covered in chocolate that I haven't loved. But I grew up, my dad very much loves food and eating and trying different, he's been to a lot of different countries through his work. And so he always encouraged us growing up to try new things, especially when it came to food. And we didn't have to like it, we didn't have to finish it, but just to try it, give it a chance. And so I was exposed to just all sorts of food at a young age, and have very much kept that in my mentality of, I just really enjoy trying new things. I enjoy going to new places and experiencing the foods of that culture and that place. And so it means that I love a wide variety of foods and enjoy that. But I always come back to tacos and always come back to sushi. That always sushi. I'm in the mood for.
That's awesome. So an adventurous eater is a cool person indeed, for sure. So have you tried chocolate covered sushi tacos?
No, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I just made it up. So
okay.
It's a thing.
We might have to do some experimenting on that.
So your first Sunday here, maybe there'll be chocolate sushi tacos.
That would be a very unique welcome.
Yeah. Let's not do that. So when you were in school, what kind of subjects did you enjoy? What kind of things did you were you digging in school?
I have always really been passionate about history. I think part of that is just growing up in Virginia. We just have such a rich history here of our country. And my parents, again, were very big on exposing us to different places, and we would travel to different states. And really, our vacations weren't going to the beach and relaxing by the water. It was going to a new place and exploring everything that it had to offer. And so a lot of that was the history of the state and, you know, the area that we were in. But then, of course, doing that in Virginia as well and seeing all the different historic sites. But I really got extra passionate about it in seventh grade. My history teacher was from Gettysburg. And her family had been there for generations. So they were there during the Civil War and during that important battle of the Civil War. And she had grown up there and had been a guide there. And so it was really a passion of hers, obviously, but she really brought it to life for me. And I mean, I can remember, like, it's horrible to think about, but her great grandmother, after the battle, followed wagons and picked up body pieces and were thrown out in the wagons and stuff.
Oh
And it's
no.
just like, it just brought a different kind of life to what a battle was and what it really meant, and kind of the hard horror of it. And you know, now you go to Gettysburg and it's a beautiful piece of land and
Rolling
stuff. And it's like,
fields.
that's not what it was
Yeah.
during the battle.
No.
But yeah, so I've always loved going to different places, and especially just so proud to be from Virginia and the history that we have here. And so one of my favorite things is just to go to Colonial Williamsburg. And I've had an annual pass there since 2011, when I was appointed to Newport News.
Wow,
I
yeah.
got an annual pass and then have gotten one every year since. And just no matter how many times I've been there, you know, I've been there probably 100 times, I still just love going there and experiencing it.
Absolutely. I'd forgotten that we shared the Newport News experience of serving in that area together. It's really cool. And you grew up here in Northern Virginia, and so you are very familiar with all the history locally here, and so welcome home.
Yeah, it is. It's so funny. Northern Virginia has always been home to me, and I didn't necessarily, you know, you should always expect with the itinerary that you don't know where you're going to go in
Right.
Virginia. But I really wasn't expecting a move back to Northern Virginia. And so it was when my DS told me, I was like, okay, I'm going home. And it really, that meant something to me.
Cool. All right, so one of the things I read in your bio is that you love Disney. And we got some Disney people here. They were like, "Oh yeah, this is cool. This is all right." And you have that connection living in your house with your two cats. So tell us about the cats, their names, and that Disney connection.
So I love Disney, have always been a fan, and didn't I went a couple of times as a kid to like Disney World, and then as an adult I hadn't been for years. And then the year of my 29th birthday, Disney did this promotion where you could get in free on your birthday. And
Oh,
looking back at it now, I kind of giggle, but my twin sister and I were having a little bit of trouble facing turning 30. And
really?
you know, with the 29th birthday coming up, we're like, oh, it's getting really close, and like that next season and everything. And so when we found out about the promotion early in the year, Kathy came to me and she said, I think we should go to Disney for our birthday, which is in October. So we were planning many months ahead of time. But we ended up going, and three of our best friends went with us. And it was the first time that I had experienced Disney as an adult and realized that it wasn't just for kids, that you could go back and really experience that. And that they didn't blink an eye if you wanted to go meet the characters, or if you were just acting kind of out as a child would act, and like the giddiness of it. And I really appreciate that about Disney. And so it just became kind of our happy place. And so Kathy and I try and get there as frequently as we can. Sometimes it's once a year, sometimes it's every couple of years, just kind of depending on circumstances and what's going on. But we're excited. We're going in the beginning of May. Our goddaughter is graduating from the Ringling Institute, Art Institute
Oh.
in Sarasota, Florida. And we're like, well, we're not that far from Orlando. So we're extending our trip and doing a couple of days in Disney, which will be nice. But with that passion, we have a history of naming our cats after Disney characters. Kathy got kittens in 2005, which was kind of her first year in the workforce, and she named them Ellie for Cinderella. Cinderella's her favorite, so she wanted to have a Cinderella. And then Gus Gus was the boy cat from the mouse. And so when I got kittens, she said I should name them after the other mice, which were Jack and Susie. And so I had Jack and Susie for several years. And then they passed on. And now my newest cats are Gaston, because Beauty and the Beast is my favorite. And I love Gaston's character. I know he's kind of the villain, but he also just, I think, is a little misunderstood. And I appreciate that. And my Gaston is a little bit of, he's the sweetest boy, but he's also very much has his Gaston moments. And I kind of feel like I did that to him by naming him that. But then a year and a half ago, I brought another kitten into the house and named him Flynn Rider, which is a character from the Tangled Rapunzel movie. So those are my boys. But yeah, so we just have kind of that tradition of the Disney names for our cats.
That's really cool. And they're cat people, certainly part of our life here at Sterling. And Celeste, who is the administrative assistant, has a cat. I'll let the two of you swap cat stories and the like, but I think you'll find a lot of commonality certainly in those friends. So gosh, there's so much here. If it's okay, what I'd like to do is kind of add some of the things that you identified as fun facts to a list so people can see that,
Yeah, absolutely.
and like and can come back and talk to you about that. It sounds like you love to travel, that you love to experience new things, and there's a lot to experience here, in the diversity of cultures here in Sterling and certainly in Northern Virginia and the like. And but you mentioned Kathy, your twin sister. You guys are so twins. I've seen you and known you, across the conference for many years now, and I for the longest time had a real tough time kind of telling the two of you apart. It's really remarkable how much you were very very much alike. Of course, you don't dress alike,
Not on
and the like,
purpose, usually.
not on purpose. But people, kind of like trend in the same style anyway, in lots of different ways. But you two are twins, and you guys go to a twin festival. Is there's a festival of twins? That's got to be confusing.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. So there's a town called Twinsburg, Ohio, and it's not very far. It's kind of just outside of Cleveland. And they have a twins festival every year, and people come from all over the world to attend this festival. And it's not just for twins, it's for multiples. So you will see some triplets and some quadruplets, but it's mostly twins and all ages and identical fraternal, both participating. But it is just incredible. There's usually at least 2,000 sets of multiples that are wandering around.
Oh
And
my
of
God.
course, others can attend. It's an open festival, so people from the town attend, and family, of course, of the multiples come and attend. But just to walk around, and you have this instant connection with everybody. Like, everybody's coming around and being like, oh, can we take pictures with you? You have these conversations, and all of a sudden, you're with people that get it. They get the unique blessings and also hardships of having a multiple, because it really is. I think I would consider it the greatest blessing of my life that God gave me a twin. I think that God knew I would need that person and that partner. And especially both of us are single. And so we just really are each other's person in this life. And to have people that just get that and It's just, we also have two brothers and I love them very much and I'm very, very close to both of them. But there's just a uniqueness to that bond as a twin that is really only understood if you have that. And so to walk around a festival where all of a sudden you're not the outlier, you're
Right.
actually, the normal ones. And even our mom went with us sometimes and she's like, I feel like the odd one out because I don't have a multiple. And we're like, now you know how we feel on a regular basis. And, of course, we don't mind people coming up to us and asking us questions or asking us if we're twins or, wanting, there's kind of a list of questions that people tend to go through with us. And we're happy to talk about that and to share that. But that's a common part of our life. And so to go to a place where those aren't the questions that you're just automatically receiving. It really is just a special time for us.
And you two are, of course, Kathy is a social worker in Richmond, right? And so you'll be separated a little bit by distance in life here, but she'll be up, I'm
For
sure.
sure. For sure.
And you can. You can help us, help the folks in Sterling kind of like experience what it is to have multiple, to have that as part of life.
So everybody be warned. If you see me, it might not be me, but maybe I'll try and make her wear a name tag or something so that it's like, I'm not Pastor Jenny.
So that's another good reason to wear name tags, right? We
Right. Right.
and we've been really good. One of the things I've loved, because I came and said, I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude to you, but I may, have trouble remembering names. And folks here at Sterling have been so, even now, 3 years in, have been so good about name tags, and it really, really helps a lot. So,
It really does
one
because
final thing that I just kind of wanted to lift up here, which is you love music, and it's a really important part of your life, and I think you're going to love that ex living that here at Sterling, because music is really, really central to our life, and great music here in our church's life. Could you tell us some more about I think you have sung with your church choir. I don't know if you'll want to do that here or not. I maybe just put you on the spot. I hope I didn't, but tell us more about your musical life, Jenny.
Yeah, so I when I was in kindergarten, my mom took me to choir at my church and said, again, they were just big on you don't have to like things, but you have to try things. And so she took me and Kathy, and we went, and we were really shy kids, but Louise Huggins, now Miller, was our minister of music at Annandale, and she was just incredible. She really is the first person that taught me theology because not only did she talk about music, she taught us notes and she taught us the staff and she taught us just rhythm and all of those things that you would expect to learn in a choir. But she taught us about Jesus and God. And I think of her every time I take communion because she taught us to hold our hands out because it was a gift that we were being given. And so, 40 years later, I'm still holding out my hands like Mrs. Miller taught me. And so, but she was smart. She knew how to win kids over. And so after every choir practice, we got to pull a piece of candy from a bag on our way out. And I have a big sweet tooth, as you learned from my love of chocolate. And so I was like, yeah, if I'm getting candy at the end of practice, I'm in. And so I got hooked. And then I've sung in church choir. Ever since there was one year, my first year when I was at my last appointment, which was at Bon Air in Richmond, they were having a lot of transition and change. And I came in as an associate and was doing a lot of people's jobs along with my own. And it was just, I couldn't add one more night out. So that first year that I was there, I didn't sing in the choir. And I missed it so much that I had to join back in after that. And so I've sung. And so my hope is to be able to sing with Sterling's choir as well. But I was also in school choir all throughout elementary school through seminary as well. And just, I'm not a soloist. I can speak in front of hundreds of people, thousands of people, no problem. Don't get nervous. But if you ask me to sing a solo, I will get very shy all of a sudden. But I love to be a part of a choir and definitely just have that music in my life. And that's for me in worship, that's what speaks to me first and foremost is the music.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I know that folks will be getting to know you in lots of ways over the next few months, but I really am thankful for you sitting down and kind of sharing this with us today. And it's really the season that we're going through of transition is challenging, but it's also wonderful. You discover things. You discover things about people. I know that I discover things about myself even, kind of working through this season. You and I are both elders in the United Methodist Church, and this is not our first rodeo or our second rodeo. We've worked our way through this. But I am particularly in this season thankful for you and thankful for the gifts that you bring to Sterling. And I'm having been part of the crew here for a bit, I'm thankful for the way in which Sterling has continued to be faithful for a very, very long time and is moving forward, moving forward in ministry and in life together. So, I can't wait to see what happens next, and I know that you will love people well and take really good care of the souls here at Sterling United Methodist Church. And before we go, can I pray for us? Would that be okay?
Would love that.
I think that would be cool. So let's pray. We thank you, God, for the way in which you call us, and you've called Jenny and I into ministry together, and you've called so many into different forms. You know our uniqueness, and you know those things that that we individually bring to this work, and that we have all kind of dedicated to sharing ourselves and sharing the love of you in our lives. So we ask God that in this season of transition that you would ease all those anxieties and that you would lift up all those possibilities and that you would cause us, Lord, to find to find the ways to continue to be faithful and live this abundant life in rich ways. So much so that you are glorified and the world comes to know just how much you love us all. I thank you for my colleague and my sister. I thank you for River Road Church, where I am going, and for Sterling United Methodist Church, where Jenny will come this summer. And we ask all of this in the holy in the loving name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You and I officially switch over July 1, although there'll be all kinds of this and that going on, but the big change happens July 1, and I guess I have to clean out my office. I guess I have to clean out your office. I should get some boxes in here, I guess. But
I know.
God bless you.
I keep looking around at all the stuff, and I'm like, oh gosh, I really should get on this.
Me too. Me too. Well, thanks, Jenny. God bless you.
Thank you, Bert. Appreciate the conversation.
Well, I'm so excited, and I really appreciate Jenny spending time with us today. Listen, God bless you. Take care of yourself, and I will look forward to seeing you on Sunday.